Anybody ever accidentally pick up a new hobby? You ever do that? I somehow got started watching a whole bunch of videos about car detailing on YouTube a while back, and it's really just sort of fascinating to learn about and to listen to and to watch these different kinds of reviews. Here's the sort of methods that you can use if you really want to get your car very clean. Here's some of the different products, some of the different chemicals you can use. These cleaners are more basic, these cleaners are more acidic, right? I learned something from chemistry in high school, right? So we have all these different products that we can use, but you can't just simply do everything chemically on your car. Sometimes maybe your car's got some scratches or it's just had a lot of things going on. So sometimes you'll need to actually go in and mechanically polish the car, which is an interesting process because in order to develop all of that beautiful shine, all of that beautiful gloss and depth in the paint on a car, if you're going to polish it, what you're actually doing, some of you may already know this, right? What you're actually doing is you're sort of introducing a lot of different scratches. First, what you are doing is you are using something that is abrasive so that you can strip away part of this coating on your car. And so in order to really get it very polished up, to bring about all of that depth and gloss and shine, first, you have to mar the paint. You have to introduce these different kinds of abrasions and scratches. And so after the harshness of that kind of first polishing with those different compounds, then you can have this nice, smooth base layer. And then from there, you can clean that up. You can shine that up. And then the car looks just really stunning, really beautiful. I'm not doing any car polishing. It's very cold outside, as you might be aware. So not the best time of year to develop this kind of hobby, but here we are. But we think about this process, right? That we have to introduce these kinds of scratches. If we really want to get everything looking nice first, we have to use something that maybe is a little bit harsh. First, we use something that maybe is a little bit rough, and then everything can be filled in, everything can be smoothed out. What do we hear in our gospel today? That we talk about John the Baptist appears, and he appears in fulfillment of that prophecy of Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And if we go back to that prophecy of Isaiah, what else does he say? We know this passage, right? Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. That when we make straight and we prepare the way of the Lord, we make straight his paths, what is going to happen? All of the mountains will be made low, and all the valleys will be brought up, and they will be filled in. You think about this kind of irregularity, right? And so we want to have that smoothed out. But in order for that to happen, there would have to be some pretty major kind of construction. If we want to build this highway for God's people, because what's happening? The people of God, they're all in exile, but finally they're going to be allowed to return home. And so we want that road for them to return home to be as smooth and level as absolutely possible. So there's no bumps. There's nothing that they might stumble over. There's no potholes that they might be able to trip in. That kind of big construction project, even bigger than what we've been doing on Arlington Heights Road, right? That we want all of that level and smooth so the people of God can travel easily and quickly back home. But to do that kind of construction, sometimes you have to dig a little bit. Sometimes you have to break up what's already there. It's sort of this harsh process at first, and then everything becomes level and smooth. And the same thing is true in our spiritual life. That's why the message of John the Baptist, this message of repentance, sometimes when we hear those words, they come across to us as very abrasive. They come across to us as very sharp. What does he say to the Sadducees and the Pharisees? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? But the one who is coming with justice, and his winnowing fan is in his hand, and together he will gather the wheat into his barn, but then the rest of it will be burned in unquenchable fire. Even now the axe lies at the root of the tree. This message of repentance, sometimes we hear that, and it comes across to us as very harsh, as very abrasive. But we need that part of the message first so that then everything can be filled in, everything can be smoothed over. What does St. Paul tell us in this letter to the Romans? That by your endurance and by the encouragement of the scriptures, you will find hope. By your endurance against these abrasive words, by your endurance in looking inward and saying, where do I need to repent? Where are the sins in my life? What are the things that need to change? Sometimes to do that and to look inward at ourselves is not easy. And it comes off to us as abrasive. We say, there's all these things in my life that are like these sharp, these jagged edges where I struggle against God, against His grace, and against His mercy. And I need first that abrasive of this message of repentance, because then what do I hear? That's not the point, right? Just to have that harsher sounding message. But then, by our endurance in repentance, we hear then the encouragement that comes from the Scriptures. What else does the prophet Isaiah say? We heard about this in our psalm too, right? Justice will flourish in his time and fullness of peace forever. That this justice and peace will be like a belt around the waist of the Savior, and that when he comes, when we finally have the fulfillment of the promises of God, what is open to us, what is possible for us, what is available, all of that kind of peace, that the lion, the wolf shall lie down with the lamb. These two things which don't really go together very well, that all of a sudden, because all of that will have been smoothed out by God's working, by his grace, by the fruits of our repentance, now we can find peace. Now we can hear in the Scriptures those words of comfort that come in to fill in all of those little peaks and valleys, that come to level that out, so that we see that what does God ask for us? What does God want for us? He wants our souls to shine. He wants our souls to shine with his grace and with his holiness. That everything within us reflects the beauty and the light and the glory of God to every single person, to everybody that we meet. That God wants his light to shine brightly through us. But we need a little bit of that work of repentance. First we have those maybe more abrasive and harsh words, and then we fill and we smooth that out with those words of comfort, with those words of promise. There is nothing in our lives that is beyond God's reach. There is nothing that we have done in life that puts us so far beyond God's love that we should just simply raise our hands and give up and say, well, I can't repent. I'm too far gone. My sins are too great. I'll never be able to overcome them. I'm always going to struggle with this. That's just who I am. There's no place that we can go. There's nothing that we can do that removes us from God's love. That is our hope. But we need to hear and we need to practice that repentance first, so that we can better receive that message of comfort, so we can better receive that shine, that glow, that polish, all of that grace coming from God. God wants to fill us with his graces. He wants to fill us with his comfort. And he does so. He'll do so today. He'll do so when we receive from this altar. We receive that fullness of God's presence, the fullness of his love. He says, this is how close I want to be to you. This is how much I want to fill you with my grace and with my love, that I will give you my very self as food. And that's that promise and pledge of hope. As we work on that repentance, as we work on changing our hearts, changing our minds, changing our lives, that God is always there. He's always there with that encouragement from the Scriptures. He's there with the encouragement of the sacraments. He's there to encourage us in this life of grace and holiness. It is possible for us. And that's the better news, right? Polishing your car, you don't want to do it when it's 20 degrees outside. Receiving God's grace, repenting from our sins, doesn't matter the weather. Doesn't matter what the weather is. Doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. It's always possible. It's always there. It's always open to us. All we have to do is say yes. All we have to do is say yes to that work of repentance. All we have to do is say yes to God's grace and to his comfort. So that's the question for us today. That's the question put to us by John the Baptist. It's the question put to us by the Scriptures. Will we say yes to that loving grace of God?